You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right. Get it going right here, right now. This is Eyes Up Here, and you're listening to an all-new Eyes Up Here exclusively on the iHeartRadio Network. If you didn't know by now, my name is Chad, and every single week I'm here, but the host is not this week. We all know where she is. She is on her magical vacation to a place that she talks about all the time. I mean, I don't have to spell it out for you, you know. But I have gone out and found somebody to take her place this week, but did not have to go very far. All I had to do was look across the room and found a suitable replacement, the quintessential stud muffin himself, Mr. Joel Gertner, joining me today. Joel, welcome back to Eyes Up Here.
Well. Thank you for having me. For those who don't know, although since all of these people are fans of the original ECW, I would imagine, or have caught up with it by now, if they know Francine, then I'd like to think, hopefully, they're familiar with my work, and they know that I am the lyrical miracle, the sexual, intellectual, the cunning linguist. I'll keep stuff like that to a dull roar here on iHeartRadio. I know it's not iBleep Radio. And the quintessential stud muffin, Joel. I'm your favorite ECW personality, just like the Queen of Extreme, Francine. But unlike her, your older sister and your mother under age 55 love me the most. And this week, on this episode, I am your substitute host, Gertner. Keep listening. It still applies. Eyes up here and have yourself an eargasm.
Beautiful. What a way to start. Joel, I couldn't be happier to have you back.
Obviously. Goes without saying, but thank you.
Well, Joel and I were together yesterday as we're recording this in real time. We were in beautiful Joppa, Maryland, outside of Baltimore, but I think they do count it as Baltimore if you're going to use a city for the MCW Fan Jam. And as I was walking around the room and exchanging pleasantries with a few folks in the near vicinity, we locked eyes. You didn't know who I was. I went over and introduced myself again since we had you on the show a couple years ago. you said the wrong thing, and I locked you in for Eyes Up Here. It was, if you ever need me, I'm right there, and I grabbed you within 2 seconds.
Yeah, and there's no substitute for a substitute. I'm run down. I'm a little bit sick as a dog. I'm a little bit beat up. But nonetheless, when I heard it was for Franny, and when I heard it was for this show, of course, out of the kindness of my heart, I am here.
That's awesome, too. And it, you know what? And before we get into the really bad stuff that we're going to talk about today that has to do with the world of wrestling, I want to talk about the really good stuff. That's that bond that you guys have, that ECW bond. And you don't see it with everybody. You never hear about the WCW guys that have the deep bond or those WWF guys that have that deep bond. It's that ECW crew that has something so special that when you guys see each other, there's really no really blood feuds that we know of that are really out there. And maybe one or two, but nothing crazy. You guys have a real tight group, and you're always talking, and you're always happy to see each other. What is it about you guys that you still like really have a good friendship, and you always are so happy around each other?
For most of us, ECW was our break. It was our first break. It was our first vehicle in establishing our career. We weren't plucked from, you know, WWF, WCW. You know, that was kind of our first stop. And I think there's also got to be something to the fact that we were all so young. Many of us were in our 20s. So between those two things and just the nature of being number three in a three entity war, you know, just the nature of being, as Paul Heyman said at a press conference once, you know, in the soda wars and the cola wars, we were Snapple. And at the time he said we were happy to be that. And we were the Island of Misfit Toys. We were the little engine that could. Towards the end, we were the pioneers that got the arrows in our backs. And it was all of that, I think, helps, you know, you call it a bond. If you're going to talk about blood feud, I go the other direction with it. And I'd call it a family. And yeah, that's why we're all so tight.
So cool. Yeah. Again, there's always the cool interactions between the ECW guys. And again, that's not to disparage the other promotions or the other locker rooms, but again, you don't see the WCW pals, you know, joking around and hanging out the way you see the ECW guys. It's just, there's something different there, and it's magical, especially, you know, if you see it from my point of view, because I deal on the booking side, I deal on the other side of shows, and there is a close relationship with everybody for the most part, and I think it's very cool. So
yeah, absolutely. That out of the way.
All right, so yeah, we also saw there was a lot of great people in attendance at this show. There were fans out the door for some free agents that are still hanging around. Nick Nemeth, Matt Riddle in attendance, fans clamoring for autographs and pictures. But I did see the Steiner brothers were kind of over in the area where you were. I mean, they still look great. You know, I saw Lex Luger. Conventions are always very cool, but there's a guy in the news that links a lot of these people together. And, you know, I don't like to throw this term around very loosely, Joel, but perhaps biggest news story of all time as it relates to wrestling. Still, I guess, breaking as we go every day, every single day. There seems like there's something new coming out as it relates to the Vince McMahon story and everything developing. And it's becoming like the Kennedy assassination, right? It's almost like, where were you when you found out about what happened when the Vince McMahon court filings came out? So I'll start with that. Where were you when you found out when the Vince McMahon court filings came out? Were you as shocked as everybody else was to see that Vince McMahon, the guy we've heard so many crazy things about over the years, had this finally hit the surface?
I'd heard some rumblings. I'd heard some kind of inside kind of rumors, some kind of inside, a little bit of baseball. I've got this cough, so I apologize in advance if I cough every now and again. I was still shocked. Nothing shocks me. You know, on the other end of the coin, it's wrestling, right? So, like you say, even if it is the bit, look, so I've been watching since I don't know, 83, 84. So, and I've been reading the sheets since 89. Even if it is the biggest story ever, there's been so much else between the 80s and now that I've seen and that I've studied that, I mean, you can't be shocked or surprised by anything. Because the inside, you know, whatever I heard wasn't substantial, substantive, concrete, detailed. It was, the feds were investigating him, I think. And that was, you know, I think different people heard rumblings about that at different times and have heard more about it or less. But when it comes to these filings, I couldn't even tell you where I was at the moment that I heard. I'm not sure because, you know, again, it's just, you know, you just see, you know, when ECW closed up, you had to be perceptive and you had to kind of see towards the very end, week by week, you had to kind of see writing on the wall. And that's kind of how it was with, I think, this, where like maybe you're hearing the feds are interested. Maybe you're hearing that there's something having to do with Vince being a liability and it maybe being something along the lines of the Rita Chatterton thing. You know, maybe, you know, you're hearing this and you're hearing that. And I don't know. I kind of lost my train of thought. I mean, that's how kind of scattered and how kind of, you know, scatterplot and scattershot it all is, because, you know, like I say, I couldn't tell you where I was, and I'm not entirely surprised just because nothing, I don't allow anything in wrestling to kind of, you know, shock me. And, but, you know, again, you see different, you know, all of a sudden Kevin Dunn retires, you know, and it's like, yeah, Kevin Dunn at this point is an older gentleman. He's older than me. He's however old he is. He's been with the company, whatever, four decades. Vince isn't, you know, there's that. But like, so some of it maybe is Monday morning quarterbacking, right? Like kind of hindsight. But regardless, like the kind of, again, there's been, and I, you know, there's writing on the wall, I guess. And I don't know what to tell you, man. No, I have no idea where I was when I actually heard that her case was being filed.
We gotta go through a couple of those points. One, the Kevin Dunn thing for sure was to me the first thing I thought of, because when I read through the whole filing, I had some free time throughout my regular day. I did read the whole 67 page filing. And when it was naming like unnamed executive, I'm not trying to throw anybody's name explicitly under the bus, but he was the first name that popped in my head because he was such a high profile name to depart, who was so linked to Vince over the years that it's just fishy, as we would say, you know, it's just suspicious. But again, I could be 100% dead wrong. And I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that I'm saying it. I'm trying to cover my ass.
So of course. You know? And maybe he was ready to retire, like I say, because he's at a certain age or whatever. Maybe he was. And right. He's got, you know, whatever he's got, eight figures worth.
But it was weird. It was very weird.
But on the other end of the coin, like that company is his life.
Yes.
He's one of the top people there. Good things are happening.
Right.
The company on various levels, creative, financial, is doing well. There's interest. It's still popular. It's still mainstream. Here comes Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, was, you know, so
before WrestleMania, like that, you know, yeah. you don't want a big send off like a WrestleMania to close out your career.
Right. Right. It was kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I say, I mean, I wasn't surprised and I just, you know, it didn't take me aback. It was kind of, it kind of, I've been hearing from certain people that, you know, now that the Endeavor merger had happened, that maybe Vince being considered a liability of sorts was going to be pushed out and pushed away. And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's happening, you know, I guess, yeah. You know, because of the case, he's gone ahead and, you know, it's always a retirement. They always, right. I mean, the corporate, you know, they always give you the option of retiring before they cut you loose and let you go. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's not over and it's still going to play out. I think I saw on X on Twitter, I think I saw, you know, there's kind of, from the publicity standpoint, from the legal standpoint, the strategery of it all, I think I see that they're trying to disseminate the idea that Janelle Grant isn't even so much or solely interested in money or a settlement, but that she's kind of interested in justice, restorative, you know, that kind of thing. Right. So I saw something in relation to that yesterday or the other day. So it's not over. You know, we always think that, oh my God, this is the biggest thing, you know, and in a way, you know, it's not that I'm arguing with you. I don't want to harp on that. I mean, it could very well be. And in certain ways it is, and it's, you know, and it's arguable and it's debatable. It could be the biggest thing, but just like life, just like time, the timeline, it's never the end, you know, just like wrestling.
Yeah.
It's never the end. You know, it's a never ending story. It's a book with endless chapters. And just because this has shaken the world, you know, in that, you know, neck of the woods and with WWE, you know, it doesn't mean that there aren't major developments, unknown facts. You know, the story, I think, is still developing. And listen, man, I mean, you know, this goes back a couple of years ago. People were like, oh, Vince is going to sell. They thought he was going to sell to the Saudis.
Yeah.
Instead, there's an Endeavor merger. But really, if we're being honest with each other, it's an Endeavor acquisition, at least now. Anything could happen. They, you know, Endeavor could decide one day that now that they've raised the profile and level of WWE up there with UFC, which was their baby first, they could decide to split them again and they could sell it to the Saudis, just like PFL is with this, you know, just like LIV Golf is with this, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, talking about how anything could happen and it's a book with endless chapters. You know, it's 2024, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows what 2026 holds? Who knows what 2028 holds? You know, we don't know. So I don't remember where I was, because for as big of a story as it is, it just, you know, for me, it was whatever day, that, you know, it was Tuesday. You know, it was just, it was big, but, you know, this is a crazy business. I mean, it's, you know, ever since I got to the ECW level, ever since about 95, 96, nothing surprised me.
That's very fair. You made some great historical points that I want to go back to. You know, you're a longtime fan. You said you've been watching since 83. You know, you've been in the sheets since 89. I started watching in 1987. You know, I didn't really get into the sheets until I really, like, hit the internet in the late 90s, maybe like 96. But I listened to the wrestling radio shows that were all over the New York area, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s.
Yep,
and,
yep.
You know, my uncle would give me any kind of information he could. The Slammer and the Daily News. I got whatever I could get, right? We lived through this stuff. What's that?
Likewise.
Yeah, we lived through this stuff with Vince already. We lived through scandals. We lived through really bad stuff. And he was gone for a little while. But this one is bad, but we lived through some really, really bad stuff. If there was social media, let's go back to 1992, right? The Ring Boy scandal. That was really bad. That was, and if you could put that into today's standards, that I don't honestly, I don't think the WWF would have survived had the Ring Boy scandal hit 2024, because that's how bad it was. Now, that is not to say that what's going on with the filings and all the stuff that's coming out now with Janelle Grant events is not better or worse, but that Ring Boy stuff was horrible. And stuff that I've heard from guys who were there at the time that's not really public, there's some really bad shit that has never been told out into the shoot interview ranks of the world. And there's some bad stuff with that Ring Boy scandal. And they skirted. And had it been made public, I think the WWF would have been gone forever.
I believe it. And there was the steroid scandal. And before that, there was Sheik and Duggan. And before that, there was Rita Chatterton. I mean, there's always kind of, there's always been kind of whispers and secrets and kind of, now we find out, Fabulous Moolah is, under the kind of microscope, and people are, there's always kind of been, a little bit kind of shady activity. In politics too, in entertainment and mainstream entertainment too, in Hollywood, there's just, there's scandal, it's, not everything is 100%, peaches and cream and roses and Francine's at Disney World. Not everywhere is there. Not everywhere is always the happiest place on earth. And it's just kind of the way it is. And with wrestling, it it's always had a kind of edge, but you get a show like Dark Side of the Ring. So there's gotta be, it's not completely dark. It's not evil. It's not the bad neighborhood on the wrong side of the tracks, but there is a dark side, and there are things that happen and there are people that, take liberties.
Where do you kind of stand with that show, with Dark Side of the Ring? I think there's been episodes that have been entertaining, somewhat informative and informational, but then there's some, I think, kind of cross the line, come off a little salacious, maybe a little bit too, on the side of sleazy. But again, that's just me as a fan, somebody who's worked around the business, but somebody who's in the business like yourself, like, where do you kind of fall on the Dark Side of the Ring discussion?
I'm glad it's around to critique, like you say, some episodes are better than others. It can, depending on your opinion or what you know about a certain story, how much you know, who you know, that kind of thing. It is varied and it is eclectic. It's not 100% precise. I don't know if it's meant to be. I mean, they put a lot of time, effort, money, and energy into it. When they cast for people who to look like the people that they're portraying and representing, they do a bang up job. They do an unbelievable job finding people that pretty much look exactly like the wrestling personality that they are trying to represent. So, it's not shoddy. It's not ramshackle and it's not hand fisted. I mean, I think they're trying their best and doing their best work. And a lot of the time, I think it's worthwhile. I think it's informative. I think it's entertaining. And I'm glad that it's on the air, that it got green lit, that it got produced, that it's aired, and that, that we're able to critique it,
Yeah. Now, there's a couple. I mean, we reviewed, I would say, three or four from this past season. We did Chris and Tammy. We did Bam Bam. And we did the Marty Jannetty episode. And I thought the Marty Jannetty episode, I thought at the end of it, you kind of really, like, it was more, more very depressing than anything, but they kind of built you up like, oh, he's hard partying, is this and that, but it ended up being very sad at the end. And he really felt for Marty and the pain he's going through with his leg. And I don't know what they're going for, what are they trying to do? Are they trying to tell you the stories of the guys because they want you to know about their careers, Or are they trying to make them look like sympathetic figures because they want you to feel bad for them? So I don't know. It's a very weird thing. But now, you know, we have an episode like Sandman is coming up in this new season. I'm dying to watch it because I've been around Sandman a lot over the last couple of years. And he's a walking episode of Dark Side of the Ring because I think it's going to be one of the best episodes ever because he's great. I mean, he's amazing. So I can't imagine what they got out of him for an hour.
Yeah, he's a genius. Yeah. I think I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of what they're going for is they want you to see how unique and special and interesting, bizarre, whatever, the real people behind the wrestling gimmicks are. I think they want you to see the real Marty today behind rocker Marty Jannetty. I think they want you to see the real life currently of Abdullah the Butcher. I think they want you to see that this isn't, I'm not saying it exists. I'm picking the first quote that I think is close. This isn't exactly what I mean, but I think a lot of it is they want you to see that the truth can be stranger than fiction, you know? They want to give you a kind of a window, kind of some insight and shine a light on these real human beings whose lives might just be more interesting than being a cannibal from the Sudan, you know? Like, right. I mean, you know, that's one idea is that, you know, they're just going for these documentaries that, you know, are not just telling the story of the stories that have been told, but they're kind of giving you the real story of the real people who are the actor athletes who have portrayed these interesting characters that you're used to seeing.
Right, because a lot of times we blur the line between where does it end, where does it begin? Where do we go? And I think that's a great point. That's a fantastic point. Is there a story you'd like to see on there?
You know, I've never thought to kind of pick a... that's an interesting question. I've never thought of that. I've never thought of the show in that way.
They've covered some good ones, I have to say. I mean, they've hit a lot of like the, you know, hey, these are the classic wrestling stories. You know, hey, we pulled some out. I have to say, you know, and ratings-wise, some of the more interesting ones that the longtime wrestling fan wants to hear about were like their lowest-rated ones, like Adrian Adonis. What longtime wrestling fan knows his backstory? None.
I was amped up to see what they were going to do with Adrian. Have they done a Vince McMahon one yet?
I don't think they've gone all in on his backstory. Right.
Because that's what I'm wondering too. And like now, if you give it a beat. And you wait, I don't know how many more seasons they're going to do, but if you let this story develop and you even were to give it a year or 2 years, you could do a Vince episode, but how are you going to get it all in 1 hour when Vince goes back to the 70s, you know?
Yeah, that's not an episode. That's a season itself. But then it piggybacks, off of what Francine and I covered a few weeks ago on Eyes Appear. We talked about there was a Netflix documentary that was being discussed or filmed. Apparently, Dave Meltzer had reported about it, that he was even interviewed for it, a Vince project at Netflix. That makes a lot of sense now that they signed with Netflix to bring Raw there and a lot of classic content. Where does that go? So that was supposed to be chronicling everything. That was supposed to hit the good stuff, the bad stuff, and the new stuff.
Right.
Well, does that include this? Does that include the last 2 weeks? So that is a excellent choice, but Netflix might have the rights already.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Move forward a little bit. Speaking of events creation, WrestleMania season, we're in the middle of it, hitting a town you know very well, Philadelphia. Will you be in Philly this WrestleMania weekend?
I will. I'm going to be at the ECW Arena, as a matter of fact. There's no place in a way that I'd rather be, but I'm going to be there for Battleground Championship Wrestling. They've got two shows on the Friday. I'm going to be at both, and I'm going to be at the meet and greet in between. Again, I don't want to talk too much about Battleground because I feel like there's a certain kind of lack of respect and kind of, I feel me and Tim Emler are oil and water, and he had me arrested at the last show.
Uh-oh.
So, I'll be with my boys, my faction, the Sex With Your Next Ex Express. And I will be I'll be on the ECW themed show, of course, because it's a battle to see who the greatest male manager. And I had Francine and one or two other people in mind when I made sure to say the greatest male manager. We're gonna see who the greatest male manager at ECW happened to be when I take on the man who calls it right down the middle, allegedly, in his own way, for himself, Bill Alfonso Fonzie himself, with that annoying, grating, brain-piercing whistle of his, which is, God bless him, it'll be a happening when I take on Fonzie at the ECW Arena and prove that I'm the greatest ECW male manager of all time. There's a certain level of irony because in the state of Pennsylvania, their lottery system, the Pennsylvania State Lottery, the proceeds benefit senior elder Pennsylvanians. So it's outlandish to think that in that same state, in Philadelphia, in April, that they are going to encourage and allow me to perform elder abuse on Bill Alfonso. But that's going to be what happens nonetheless.
As you would say, well, that is quite the statement. April 5th, Battleground Championship Wrestling, Friday, April 5th, going down at the ECW Arena down there.
I'm going up. I'm going over.
Of course.
I'm going straight to the top.
Of course.
And because I'm the best male manager, I'm the epitome. And he's average, so like right down the middle. You know what I mean? Like kind of, 50 percentile.
As absolutely. Usual, as always was. I can't imagine any other way. That weekend is getting a lot of traction as we speak. There's a lot of rumblings. There's a lot of people who are pissed off. There's a lot of people blowing up timelines, tweeting, calling, writing letters, if they still do that, to WWE offices. Have you followed the Rock, Cody, Roman, just madness that's gone on the last week?
I'm on social media. I don't think you can get away from it.
You can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's the ultimate spoiler almost, because even if you don't want to know any more about it, good luck, you know? And there's levels to that stuff too, man, and layers, and it's really kind of intricate, man. I mean, as of yesterday, you've got what kind of just random WWE wrestlers and personalities tweeting or, X hashtag we want Cody, right?
Yeah. It's very strange. Logan Paul, saw Ricochet was another one of them. And, whether or not that's driven by somebody on the inside or not, still making a statement. I'm just surprised by it. It's The Rock. It's not like it's some just random guy. It's The Rock. And the thing I don't get was they were in somewhere in Alabama. You could have fooled me that the people didn't like it. The place, the roof blew off of it. How did nobody like that? And now they want we need Cody. We need Cody. That's blasphemy. They wanted The Rock last week.
Hey, listen, it's great when everybody's over. When Cody's over and The Rock is over and everybody loves to hate Roman Reigns. And when you've got all these personalities and it's a dog pile, it's a fight to see where it's almost like you've got too many top guys. It's a good problem to have. And The Rock's a movie star. So why not have this play out like a movie? Why not have this play out like a soap opera? Why not have a play within a play? Why not have there be creative in the real world? Why not have it be a work shoot? Why not work the boys a little bit? Why not get the boys in on it a little bit? And, Ricochet tweets hashtag we want Cody. Of course that's going to get – it's going to garner interest in Ricochet. It's going to garner interest in Cody. It's going to garner interest in The Rock,
right?
WWE, right. In WrestleMania. It's going to, who knows? I think if creative can, it's also, I think the people who are saying that all of these machinations that are in the works now that we're talking about with Cody, The Rock, and the wrestlers tweeting and stuff, a lot of it is meant to take eyes off of, take focus away from the real life, whatever real, in wrestling, you never know what real life, whatever, but the real life in the sense of the real woes, the Vince Janelle Grant stuff. So, who knows? Who knows if Ricochet is told to tweet that? Who knows if 5 or 10, a short list, a random sampling of the boys get an email or get a DM and it says, feel free to tweet hashtag we want Cody if you think it fits your brand. And some do and some don't. You don't know what you don't know. We only know what we see. We see Logan Paul tweet it. We see Ricochet tweet it. We don't know if that's up to them. We don't know if somebody asked them. We don't know if somebody told them, suggested. And again, we don't know, are they 2 of 2? Are they 2 of 10? We don't know what we don't know. And wrestling's always been that way. I can tell you from being in the ECW locker room, the WCW guys can tell you, because they were getting worked all the time. They were working the boys. The boys had no idea, what was going on. There were work shoots going on where some people didn't even, know that what was going on was a work or a shoot, or they were just in a complete land of confusion, And it be that way sometimes. And that's how wrestling is. So.
Look, like you said, people are talking, so I guess that's the good thing. There's interest, there wouldn't have been anyway. It's WrestleMania season. But I'm going to give you this final thing before we start to wrap it up. I'm going to give you the Booker hat, right? I'm going to let Joel Gertner become the head Booker of WWE Creative here.
You're the first one.
Hey, listen, you. When you work with the Chadster, you go straight to the top. I'm just going to tell you that one time, Joel. That's from me to you. What are you doing with these three? You got two nights of WrestleMania. What are you doing with them?
Who are the three? Cody, Rock,
and Roman. Cody, Rock, and Roman. What are you doing? You got a belt. You got Cody, Rock, and Roman, and two nights of Mania. What are you doing?
But there are two nights, right? So you've got the three of them, but then you've also got to figure out you've got Seth Rollins, you've got Kevin Owens, you've got Logan Paul. You've got CM Punk. Is he hurt? How hurt is he? Is he going to be back in time? So that's six, maybe seven guys that we reeled off. Every time you reel off seven guys, that means there's one or two you didn't think of. Now we're talking about like eight guys. Like I said, great problem to have on Saturday night, four guys, what do you do with them? Sunday night, four guys, what do you do with them? You change, you got a special start time now of 6:30. If the show goes until 11:30 or midnight, that means you've got two shows that are over 5 hours long each. It's February 5th, right?
Yeah.
We've got 2 months.
Just about, yep. April 6th is night one. I mean, listen, I'm not putting the heat on you, but I need an answer before we let you go. Because you ain't, as far as I know, you ain't guest hosting again, so I need an answer.
I think there are... Any answer is going to be... Any answer is going to be ill-informed. Any answer is going to be... completely fantastical or hypothetical, because again, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know how many matches are hardwired, set in stone, that they already know today are going to be on these shows, and we don't know how many are going to get plugged in the next 1, 2, 3 weeks. We don't know the real medical situation with CM Punk. We don't know. Dude, it was in 87, you talked about 87 before. In 87, it was different. Even when they were up to WrestleMania 3 and not just the first one, they were still booking wrestle. There was no road to WrestleMania. There was no WrestleMania season. They would start stuff at Rumble. Well, in 87, not. In 80, when Rumble started, yeah. But in 87, around that time, late December, early January, with a season, with 3 months, with 13 weeks of TV, they would, over those 13 weeks, let you know what the 13 matches, 11 matches, whatever it is at WrestleMania, they would let you know what those were. So it was easier. They would start booking it 3 months out. Now, we're 2 months out. And it's like, it's too soon.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There are so many moving pieces, and there's so much in flux that it's almost like it's too soon to know what the right thing to do is. It's like they still need to wait another week or two, see where things go, keep their finger on the pulse of the public, and keep their ear to the ground, see what the people want. See what's going to be best for them short term, medium term, long term. So what do you do? I mean, you could flip it back around. You could have The Rock give his stamp of approval, and you could have The Rock tell Cody at the end of the day that even though The Rock knows that he's the head of the table and he'll finish that story in due time, in Saudi Arabia, in Australia, in wherever they go, at another major show, he could give Cody his blessing, and they could make it by popular demand, Cody Rhodes versus Roman. You know, so they could do that. They could do anything. the options are limitless. I honestly think that what they're thinking is that they're still thinking and that there's still stuff to think about and that it's too soon. So it may seem like a cop-out and an easy way for me not to book it out. But because I think that that's where they are, it's too soon and I don't have an answer for you.
I'll book it for you. Rock, Roman, Cody. I think we're going to have to just, excuse me, relegate him to the opening match somewhere. I'm sorry. We don't have anything for him. Andre the Giant Battle Royal, maybe.
Could you imagine the heat, though, that would generate? The steam? Every little kid would be dressed up like Cody Rhodes with a painted-on neck tattoo. Everybody would be singing the music. Could you imagine 70,000 people singing that song turned up on 11? I mean, if they went that route and had him once again pretty much start from the bottom up, you know, I love flipping wrestling on its ear. I love when I book wrestling, when I had my company MXW, anything is possible, experimental, avant-garde, do stuff because it's never been done before. If in that vein, you could do what you just suggested, but man, would that light a fire.
It's Philly. Anything's possible. They might like it. You know?
They might. You know, somehow
they're all going to be drunk by the time they come in anyway.
Philly used to be a heel town.
Yeah, there you go.
Not anymore. Not. But if you take liberties with Cody, and if you relegate him, and if you downgrade and insult him, all of a sudden, even Philly's not a heel town anymore because they would love him even more.
Well, as we will find out, we're about 2 months away from actually when this episode's released, we'll be 2 months away. So there you go. It'll be perfectly timed for your WrestleMania season kickoff when you listen to this. So, well, we will we'll start to wrap this up here, Joel. I can't thank you enough for jumping in the chair that is usually sat in by the Queen of Extreme. So you got to say you filled it nicely. You know,
I can't ever be thanked enough. So it's not personal. It's you know, don't be too hard on yourself.
No, trust me, the pleasure is all mine. But again, like, you filled Francine's chair perfectly. You know, I'm usually here, she's usually there, and you know, it's looking very good from my angle. But please tell the Eyes Up Here universe anything and everything about the world of the Quintessential Stud Muffin, where they can find you, what you want them to go find, and everything going on in your world.
So, I am on loan from my producer, Grant Fletcher, and our podcast. We have a podcast that we do called the 69-Minute Eargasm with really, really deep dive interviews. It's not Dark Side of the Ring. It's more, it's a little A&E biography. It's a little Larry King Live. It's tell us about you growing up. Tell us about the first wrestling you ever saw on TV. Tell us about the first live event you ever went to, and getting a personality and a wrestler and all the way through from kind of, it's like a, this is your life. It's a deep dive. It's really, we try to really do our best with it. And there have been so many just unbelievable, thorough, diverse, unique, just, we've had Kamala on before he passed. We've had One Man Gang on. We've had Exotic Adrian Street, Hugo Savinovich. We've had so many ECW talent. So many people that if you're watching this show, listening to this show, you'd really, really want to hear what they have to say, not just about their career, but about their life, about their hobbies, about their outlook, about you really get a sense of kind of what makes a lot of these people tick. So the 69-Minute Eargasm, wherever you get podcasts, Apple, all over the place, everywhere, your favorite podcast platform provider, we'll have the 69-minute eargasm, Joel Gertner. Search for it. Find it. Easy way. A few months ago, we started our YouTube channel. So the 69-minute eargasm YouTube channel. Did you just... Oh, man, look at you. Is that you?
That's me.
You are amazing.
What can I say?
There you go. We've had Bugsy McGraw on and John Arezzi. So if you love the 70s, we go back to the 70s. So that's who's on your screen right now. Punk legend, Handsome Dick Manitoba. Now, if you see that there's an episode there on that bottom row, the second one over, with all that fire element to it, that's Heat Wave 99. And we've done a few episodes, a handful, that aren't just 69-minute eargasm. They're kind of like 69-minute eargasm presents Extreme Championship Wednesday.
Nice.
And we've been doing Extreme Championship Wednesdays, and that's kind of a sub of the 69-minute eargasm. And there we will do a deep dive on either a wrestler or we will do one on a major, like a pay-per-view event. So what you're seeing there is the element for Heat Wave 98. Right. So we've also done on the top row, Anarchy Rules 99. Some great interviews, man. Daniel Pewter, Bill Apter, Charmel. Charmel, what an incredible life and career in and out of wrestling. Bill Apter talking about being a force behind putting the Lawler Andy Kaufman stuff together, Andy Kaufman. Just amazing, amazing, amazing. It's all, we hope you'll find us, the 69-minute eargasm with Joel Gertner, our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. It's all we ask is that you press the button so you get notified every time we do a show. It's free. So just go ahead, listen, enjoy to your heart's content on YouTube or in podcast form, however you prefer. But that's what I'm on loan from today is my own podcast project, my own audio content, the 69-minute eargasm. I am on Cameo if you want a promo, if you want a digital video message, me cutting a unique personalized promo for you, with you, against an adversary, cutting a promo on you. If you want me to roast you, and I do everything all the way down until it gets to like upholstery. Upholstery, I don't do, I'm not very good at it. But on Cameo, I will say what you like. Or you can give me some bullet points, leave it up to me, and I'll fill in the lines. But cameo.com/Joel Gertner. And of course, each Cameo is just $69. I'm on TikTok and most other social media platforms at Quintessential Stud Muffin. So that's for TikTok, Instagram, Threads. On X, I am at Stud Muffin Says. There you go. How did you know?
It's a gift.
Are you the one with the chip in my head?
It's me. I'm here.
I knew there was somebody doing that.
I'm from Brooklyn too, so I mean, maybe all this genius. Maybe it's a Brooklyn thing.
Can't be man-made or woman-made. Some of it's got to be manufactured. You look like a high-tech kind of, yeah. And just the fact that you're a Brooklynite as well kind of gives you that kind of aspirational. Like, let me, you know, let's take the quintessential Stud Muffin Joel Gertner and make him even better.
That's right.
So yeah, but I don't. So there you go. Anyway, there's X Stud Muffin Says. Hey, if you love sports betting, that's the place, man. Every time we kill a plus 800 or a plus 1200, which is, I'm blessed. It's, you know, a lot more frequently than a few months ago I would have thought. I've kind of been getting the hang of this sports betting thing. And today, I'm actually 8 weeks into Project Bankroll. And I have been blessed that starting with just a, you know, reasonable bankroll, kind of a smallish kind of, you know, just large enough to be a starting bankroll 8 weeks ago for the project. What we've done is it's now up about 75 or 80% from where it was 8 weeks ago. That's not a lot of money yet, but mathematically, exponentially compounding per diem, 80% in 56 days, happens to work out to over 1% a day. It's like 1.05%, somewhere between 1 and 1.1. Long story short, if I can continue to produce at that same level, not just for 56 days, but for the next 560 days, or for 560 plus 560 days, and we take this out for like 2 or 3 years, it's got me on a really good 2 or 3 year plan. I don't want to say for retirement, because I like to keep my goals always. I like to kind of keep moving the goalposts and strive for more and strive for better. Aristotle said, excellence is not an act, it's a habit. So, but at over 1% a day, every day for 2 months, again, it's better than it has any hope of being, especially considering that, you know, I had an offshore sports book that I would kind of rarely, infrequently use, you know, going back however many years. But sports betting in New York State has only been legal for a couple of years.
Yeah, just so, only the last couple of years. That's a good way to jump on it. I never got into sports betting. It's one of those things that just have never crossed over. I don't know if I'm ready for it.
See, I've been into Wall Street, and I've been into investing and trading and options trading and all that stuff like that. I've been into that since I was 16, and I love sports. So now that, you know, competition and just the kind of, I love playing armchair booker, and I love kind of, and I'm very mathematical. So between the investing and math and numbers, and between the sports and the what could happen, what should happen, what might happen, I just try to integrate it all. And got to be honest with you, man, being a good sports bettor and improving at it has made me a better trader. And then being a better trader makes you a better sports investor, sports bettor. And it's been a good couple of months. And so that's just one of the things, you know, that's my Twitter's heavy with that. My Instagram, if you love food, TikTok too, if you love food, TikTok's got some crazy memes. We do a lot of food stuff. We do Duke the Dumpster Drozzy challenges me to eat 2 Baconators. Can I do it quicker than he does? We have a lot of fun on social media. So find me, Quintessential Stud Muffin, pretty much everywhere. But on X, Stud Muffin Says.
That's awesome.
And Pro Wrestling Tees. If you want a if you want a shirt, you know the Daniel Bryan. I didn't rip them off, right? But you know those yes shirts, the maroon ones.
Yes, I do.
White writing, right? And Daniel Bryan on the back. Yes, so I've got a shirt that just so happens to look eerily similar to that. It may have been inspired by it. I call it Quintessential Aberdeen. Dude, you're fast. You're quick on the trigger. I want you people to know he's not doing this in post. Like these elements, he's not talking to me at 7:30 p.m. And then at 9 o'clock when we're offline, he's like, all right, he talked about that. Let me find the element. He's actually doing it in real live time, which is super duper impressive. But yeah, those are the shirts that are available right now. Well, which says Quintessential Stud Muffin on the back. And if you're a Steelers fan, or even if you're not, if you're a football fan, or even if you're not, if you're a fan of mine, or even if you're not, buy a shirt.
Now that's a hell of an endorsement for a shirt, even if you're not.
Even if you don't wear shirts.
Even if you don't wear shirts, yeah, if you're shirtless, buy a shirt, you need a shirt. So
yeah, and after you've bought one for you, for either no reason or all reasons, buy two for other people, because it's better to give than receive, and it's better to give than to take and whatnot. So, you know, one shirt's never enough.
Especially when they have those sales. It's even better when they're, you get them, you probably could get 2 for 1. So, all right.
Next time they have a sale, get both. I agree with you, Chad. Next time there's a seasonal sale, whether it's Valentine's Day, St. Patrick's Day, whatever they do, you know what, but don't wait. If you see, this is going to launch tomorrow, right? Tuesday?
Yep.
Okay. Tuesday the 6th, right?
That's
if
right.
PWTs hasn't put out an announcement of a sale by, let's say, Thursday the 8th, just go to the site and buy a shirt.
Just do it.
And buy them in different sizes, because you never know. You know, if you like to eat, you know what I mean? You might want it loose one day, tight the other.
You know, if they go to your Instagram page, they're going to go... You're going to go get the tips from your Instagram. That's why.
Absolutely. Listen, what exactly, once you're betting with us and you're trading with us and you're seeing what we do, the tips, I give tips for the sake of tips, but I also walk you through, and it's very transparent and it's very kind of almost educational in a sense. I love to, if I'm making money, I want anybody who's reading it, seeing it, to make money. If I've got the tools and the skills, I want to make sure that other people are benefiting. So hit up the social media, keep an eye on it, and hopefully, you know, maybe you've got a new hobby now, and maybe it's something that's good for, you know, a dinner or two every month.
What a guy. That's fantastic. All right, well, here we go. Fries up here. If you want to get more from us on YouTube, you can go to the YouTube search bar, type in Eyes Up Here, or you can type in ECW Diva Francine and get our YouTube membership. We've got one starting at $5.99. We've got exclusive content where we look at old matches. We've got interviews from the iHeartRadio program. We've got old content from our Patreon, all up in the members-only section starting at $5.99. You do not want to miss some of these videos we've got up there. They are phenomenal, and they're sitting there waiting for you. So head over there. But also, you can subscribe. It's free. We've got tons of content, brand new content, exclusive content, not on the iHeartRadio feed. YouTube.com/TheQueenExtremeFrancineECW. So there you go. That is on the YouTube channel waiting for you. If you want to follow me, it's at ChadEMB on Twitter, at IB Exclusives on Instagram, and my website is IBExclusives.com. I appreciate Joel for hopping in the chair this week. Hopefully, we will see him again down the road soon. And for the Queen of Extreme, who is not here, we will see her next week. This is the Chadster. We will catch you on the flip side.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.